How do we look at our wealth? How do we use it? How has our affluence as a community and our prosperity as a country colored how we see, interact, or think about others who are not so affluent or prosperous? Now, these are difficult and very possibly uncomfortable questions to be hearing and for me to be asking. But in fact, researchers tell us that Americans are more comfortable talking about what they do behind closed doors than what they do with their checkbooks and their bank accounts. And yet, our relationship with money and how we should spend it is one of the most frequent gospel messages Jesus gives to us. We simply cannot escape the fact that Jesus talks about money and its correct use more than any other issue. In today's gospel reading, we have the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, the rich man passes Lazarus every day. Every day he steps over Lazarus, who lies bleeding and weak, as he goes about his daily life and work. He doesn't see. He doesn't recognize or so much as acknowledge the human being before him. Now, the man is dressed well, even royally, and he eats well, sumptuously, we're told, every single day. He need not worry where his next meal comes from. And there lies Lazarus, weak, covered with oozing sores, just hoping that a crumb or two might be shared with him. The only compassion he is showed comes from the dogs that lick his wounds. When they both die, Lazarus is taken into heaven to be with Abraham, and the rich man is buried. He's tormented in death. And he looks up and he sees Lazarus and Abraham together. And the rich man calls out for mercy, but still sees Lazarus as a means to an end and not as another human being. He still sees Lazarus as someone who is going to meet his needs. Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue. But Abraham reminds him that in life, he received many good things. And Lazarus? Well, not so much. Abraham tells the rich man that the chasm between them is too wide to be traversed. Then go to my brothers and warn them. And Abraham tells the rich man that his brothers have been warned. They've been given Moses and the prophets, and they were sent to them, and if they did not listen to them, they would not recognize someone who came back from the dead. No, it was in this life that he and all his brothers needed to repent, needed to open their eyes to what and who was in front of them. It was in this life that they needed to recognize the need of others who God put in their path. Now, this story is told to the Pharisees, and in verse 14, we start at verse 19, but in verse 14, we're told that the Pharisees were, quote, lovers of money. So this story follows on the heels of Jesus, who says to them, you cannot serve God and wealth. It is not the wealth that Jesus is concerned with so much as how it is used, or more correctly, misused. Jesus is very concerned with how wealth can harden our hearts, can turn us inward, can isolate us and make us judge others as deserving or undeserving. What's more, Jesus is very concerned with how easy it was for someone to become wealthy and believe that because they were wealthy, they were blessed by God. They were better than someone without such blessings. Can we really say that we see things so differently today? How often do we hear politicians talking about the deserving and the undeserving poor? How often do we step over others on our way to our meetings and workplaces? How often do we not want to see the need, the humanity before us, because it is just too overwhelming? It is just too painful. It is just too inconvenient. It is just too frightening. How often have we confused the American dream with God's dream for us? And make no mistake, friends, they are not the same thing. The rich man's sin was not that he was wealthy. The rich man's sin was that he allowed his wealth to blind him to the need before him. His sin was that he would not or could not see Lazarus, and when he finally did, he still saw him as only someone to meet his own needs, rather than as someone whose needs could be met by the rich man in his lifetime. And let's face it, this lifetime is the only lifetime we have to meet the needs that God puts in our way and on our hearts. Christians were never meant to be merely spectators. Christians were meant to be participants in God's kingdom come, and we were meant to participate as God's hands and feet in this world, in this lifetime, to stand in and with the pain of the world and with the suffering of others. And that means using our resources, using our wealth, to lift others up, not put them down. We were meant to see the needs of others and respond, not in judgment, but in love. The rich man wasn't evil, but he was blind. His brothers weren't bad people, but they were deaf. They were more wrapped up in their concern with others and their lifestyles than what God was asking of them in the care and compassion needed by another. I wonder who I am in this story. And I got to thinking about that as I was writing the sermon. And I came up with that I think I'm one of the brothers. I certainly don't have the wealth described in this story, although I do have more than enough food on my plate every night and enough clothes in my closet to keep me warm and dry. I think I am one of the brothers because Moses and the prophets have been sent to me too. I think I'm one of the brothers because I have the message of Jesus, who rose from the dead, telling me 21 centuries later that how I earn and spend my money, how I use my wealth and blessings that come my way, has not just significance for this lifetime. It has significance for all eternity. I have Jesus telling me it is not too late. I am still alive and kicking. I still have the chance to see the need before me, to hear the cries of the Lazaruses of this world that come across my path, and to respond. Deciding to remain blind and deaf to the suffering of the world is a hell of our own making. A Christian cannot plead ignorance of the need in the world. That is what Jesus was telling the Pharisees, and that is what Jesus is telling us. Amen.